When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, Steve here. None of the scenarios on this show are based on actual events. Believe it or not, they're completely made up. Enjoy!
Griffin.
And I'm Steve, and I'm Bones.
And this is Killed to Death.
And it's the Improvised True Crime Podcast. Oh, you're testing out a double tagline.
In case they missed it. Yeah, exactly. In case they zoned out.
Which happens. We get a lot of listeners saying, can you release that episode again? I missed some of it. And we have to tell them, it's okay. You can listen as many times as you want.
Yeah.
They don't know. Well, the recently big news for us, as exciting blue heads will know, there's a new Avatar trailer. Finally, the series is continuing. The adventure goes on, and they release a trailer for the second installment. He's got plans for five or however many he has, but initial reactions, we're just going to break it down. Thoughts and feelings, what we're most excited about.
This can be like a YouTube video. Griffin and Steve react to the Avatar
trailer. Exactly. So it's going to be playing in the corner.
Keep an eye out for the thumbnail to this episode. We're going to be making big, like, open mouth faces, and there's going to be big yellow text over our face.
Yes, exactly. I'm just going to say, like, OMG in, like, a big star cutout.
WTF.
Yeah. Which I should say is my initial reaction. OMG. WTF. You know that. I said it out loud when I first saw it, and I'm saying it again right now.
And why is that?
Well, first I should say for listeners at home, that's oh my god, what the fuck?
Yeah, sorry.
Just in case anyone's new to the show, those are the kinds of things we say all the time.
That's during the Warner Brothers logo.
Yeah. I was like, I thought this was Paramount. What the fuck is going on?
So this sign's huge.
And I got scared. I had to pause it.
You didn't watch the rest of the trailer.
No, but I listened from the other room while you watched.
Yeah.
It sounds awesome, and it sounds really, really cool, which is kind of the selling point of the franchise, is my understanding. It's kind of what I took away from the first one, was just the sound design. It was just incredible. It was just like, I just could listen to this as like a record, and it would be amazing. And I just remember the score. Like, I can't stop listening to the songs from Avatar 1.
Me and Leo down by the schoolyard.
Yeah. Sitting by the big old tree.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. There was that one. There was you can call me Al.
Use that one over and over.
Kodachrome.
Use that. Hello, darkness. They like kept playing that one. I was like, they must have been really paying for the rights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My biggest reaction. I was very surprised that they had so. We all have know the culture of Avatar around 2009, and we never actually watched the movie, but we know very little about it. Like, they're blue and they're looking for unobtainium. Those are the things that we know.
Even if you've seen the movie, that's all you know.
And so I was very surprised that none of that is back. They've gone with like this normal nuclear family living in suburbia.
Yeah. And I think they just realized that if you can't obtain it, they're like, we can't make this what the movie's all about.
Yeah. It's like Patrick Wilson is a dad.
Yeah. And the house is haunted.
Yeah.
He's always in those.
And Steve, people were saying we watched the wrong trailer. I don't think so.
No. People are saying you watched The Conjuring 3, The Devil Made Me Do It trailer. I don't think so.
That does explain why you got so scared and went in the other room.
Yeah, and I was skipping around a lot, and it was a lot of recommended for me on YouTube, so it was a lot of ESPN first take videos that I was watching, but amidst those, I think I saw the Avatar 2 trailer, and mostly water.
So what do you have one final reaction for us?
Yeah, which definitely has to be too soon. You know?
Too soon.
Make us wait for it.
Yeah, it's still tragic.
Yeah. The loss of the tree in the first one.
I don't even know that much.
Or something. The tree gets destroyed, I think.
Well, damn. Or good.
That's it. It's their home. I think they live in the tree.
They all live up in the, like a tree house?
It's like, well, no, I think it's just like a giant important tree.
The giving tree.
Could be.
Or Groot.
And where is that crossover?
Oh my God. Just imagine if the Avatar aliens lived in the giving tree.
Yeah. Well, imagine if Shel Silverstein was in the MCU. Think about it.
Steve.
Yeah.
Speaking of tragedy.
Yeah.
Would you like to solve a murder?
Yeah.
The victim. Count Frogula. Tennis player found dead. Today's guest. Dr. Gumbo. Count Frogula's tennis partner who found their body. Doctor, hello.
Man. What the hell? So crazy, everything I've been through.
How recent was this?
Yeah, did this just happen?
You look shell-shocked.
Yes. Yeah.
Hi, guys. Sorry. I'm still shocked for sure.
I can see the tennis courts in the background. You're still there? Did you just pick up your phone and call in?
The hearse just took... Count Frogula away.
They brought a hearse directly? They didn't bring like an ambulance or anything?
Well, no. I mean, Count Frogula had no family, so...
So why bother?
Their body stayed on the tennis courts for quite a while. Like a few days.
Right.
And the coroner and everybody would check it out, but I just ended up calling my buddy Chicklet, who drives a hearse.
I don't think you're supposed to do that. I think they were probably keeping the body there as like evidence in a crime scene.
Well, here's the thing. I'm a very influential doctor at this tennis court. it's part of a club.
Yeah.
Everybody here is very wealthy and well off, including myself. Mm. And so when you're guys like us, you can kind of, you know, it's an exclusive club. You can big dog laws all you want. And police did show up and they were like, this should go to a morgue now. And, you know, we should, you know, go through the proper channels with this dead body. And I said, Count Frogula is my tennis partner. They're my friend. Leave them right where they are, pigs. And then I gave them all... a free 99% cocoa chocolate bar.
That'll shut him up.
As a doctor.
On the house. And those are expensive ones, so.
Are you a doctor of medicine?
Yeah.
Yes, but I'm a specialty doctor. I specialize in one certain place, which is definitely good for tennis players.
The elbow.
The racket.
No, so you know really short shorts that tennis players wear? They don't go down too low. They just gracefully cover your naughty bits, and then they basically stop there midway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'd say about 5-6 inches in length, the tennis shorts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
So...
You're a doctor of those?
No. Oh, but okay. The part of the thigh just under those shorts... Which gets a lot of strain from playing tennis very hard.
And being out in the sun.
And being out in the sun. Oh, yeah. We've seen lots of sun problems on that part of the thigh.
So it's in between
bubbly
thigh?
Red skin, rashes.
You're talking like knee to bottom of short, that section?
Not even knee.
Mm. Not like, even the knee.
About 2 inches above the knee. Let me...
Yeah, you're wearing those shorts now.
Yeah, so 2 inches above the knee and 2 inches below the private part. That's my specialty. It's called tennis player's thigh spot.
Yeah, there's a big artery there,
I operate
there,
right? On that.
Hmm? There's a big artery there, right?
There's a big artery. There's a bone that wraps all the way around.
Wraps all the way around?
Bone goes around?
Yeah,
like
kind of
spiral,
like,
spiral
down, you know,
the thigh?
Yeah, like kind of like the way that the circle wraps around you on the top of a sail on a sailboat if you're climbing up the mast. And do you know what I'm talking about? Like the protectionary...
No, this analogy's made things worse for me.
Yeah, I thought I did until I started picturing a sailboat.
It's kind of like a bone holster for your thigh muscle.
Now I got it.
Oh, okay. Like a cage for... It's like ribs for your thigh.
Oh, great. Yeah, let's go with that. I'm gonna tell my patients that from now on, but that's my specialty.
That a lot of patients are asking, they're like, what is this bone?
I never had the best way of, yeah, I said meat muscle holster thing circle, but yeah, rib cage for thigh muscle. Yeah, I like that.
And you're a tennis player yourself.
Yes, very good tennis player. I get 40 love so fast.
What does that mean?
It's just some good amount of points.
Well, you can tell us as a tennis expert, why do they not just say, wouldn't that be 4-0 or 5-0?
I know what you mean.
Yeah, why not just say that?
No, I know what you mean. It bugs me too. I know. And then 40 love means we're tied, I think. It's just stupid.
4D but, sounds like Avatar.
Yeah.
I don't think Avatar's in 4D.
Yeah.
Maybe it is.
In 4D.
Where the seats move?
No, it stinks in the theater.
Avatar 2, the trailer kind of, yeah, got me interested when they do cut to them playing tennis for a sec. I was like, oh, it's not as dramatic as the last one. There was no tennis in the last one.
No.
Everyone was like mad and stressed.
Are there good tennis movies? This,
yeah,
Wimbledon.
Well,
it's King Richard.
Oh, yeah.
King Richard is awesome, man. Will Smith is like my hero. One, because of how good he is as Venus and Serena's father in King Richard. But
sure.
Two, also because he doesn't take shit from comedians. You know, like anyone who tells a joke is not serious about life, in my opinion, and should be slapped the fuck up.
Oh, well, yeah, I'm not going to put his wife's name in my mouth. That's for sure.
Oh, I don't give a shit about her. She's fucking stupid.
Oh, no.
You got to be careful.
Especially
what?
As a Chris Ock.
Ooh, that's true.
Yeah, no. I think that lady is really stupid. But
okay,
I also,
now you're in the clear.
You gotta stop, man.
I think her hair sucks. I think her hair is stupid. I think she, you know. But Will Smith is awesome.
Oh, he's going to be very conflicted listening to this.
And I think all comedians are mean and stupid, and they deserve a good old Gary Cooper style sock in the mouth. John Wayne, you know, all those are my heroes.
Yeah.
All tennis players, but not on the film set. And Will Smith is carrying in the tradition of John Wayne and Gary Cooper and all those guys. I'm going to punch you. You know what I mean? And he did it, and it's good because Chris Rock is a fool. He's never been serious in his life, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think this will inspire him to get real.
I hope so.
He was in that Saw movie.
That's the thing, and I saw some potential there, you know?
Oh, you like that one?
That was his best thing he's ever done. And then, so I was really excited, like, okay, maybe he's getting serious. He's taking life serious. He's turning a leaf. And then you see him at the Oscars being a goddamn vaudeville clown again,
and then,
yucking it up.
He should have come out on stage and told everyone that Jigsaw was there. And he should have told them to stay in their seats, but that the challenge has been proposed, and then they should have played it out like an actual movie of Saw, that he's looking for Jigsaw in the theater.
So, Steve, I would have loved to see instead of the Oscars, you think it should have been a Jigsaw trap for all the celebrities?
Well, yeah.
For a person who doesn't like most of celebrities, I would have loved to see every celeb at the Oscars ripping their guts open to try and find a key. And cutting their friend's legs off and shit.
I'd still love like a sweeping jib shot of that, like from overhead over the crowd, and everyone plunged their hands in themselves.
To be honest, I would love to, even moving away from Saw, I would love to the movie Seven, all of those celebs. Just like
put their
feed
head in
one
the
until they're just Yeah, put their head. Yeah. But you know, just kinda, it would be kinda cool to see like a
dead celebrity.
Yeah, because it's not fair what they did to Kevin Spacey. So it'd be cool to see Kevin Spacey come back and get his revenge by being his Seven character to everyone at the Oscars. Poor Kevin Spacey, man. He got screwed.
It's not fair.
For just being a guy who wants to have fun, in my opinion.
Okay.
What? This is Dr. Gumbo's real opinion.
Dr. Gumbo, does most of your money come from medicine, or does it come from playing tennis? What's your true profession here?
It goes like this, money-wise, because I have three incomes. Money comes from, for me, being a tennis thigh doctor,
okay.
One. Two, my podcast where I just tell it like it is. And then at the bottom three, I make scratch winning tennis tournaments at my club sometimes, But that's more me and my buddies putting the money on the table, you know?
Right.
What's your show called?
My show's called Oh Gimme a Fucking Break.
With Dr. Gumbo.
Gimme a Fucking Break. But it's called OGMAFB.
Yeah, that's good.
Like
it's
like Mark Maron's WTF, but mine's OGMAFB. Oh, give me a fucking break with Dr. Gumbo.
WDG.
Yeah. And I rail against everything that I think is just stupid these days. Comedy.
Kevin Spacey's treatment.
The treatment of Kevin Spacey, who's just trying to have fun. Yeah, I know.
You do seem like a natural podcaster, we should say. Some guests are nervous on here, but you've you've quickly shown that you're a master in front of the mic. Have you had any?
I have 4 million listeners, subscribers.
Wow. So you don't need the promotion on this show. But
yeah, this is, maybe you could have us on your show. That would be great.
I have 2 million patrons, $2 a all is all you need. I count that, add that up a month. What is that?
4 million.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I make 4 million a month, and I make more than that as doing the thigh doctor thing first.
Yeah, wow. Because do you treat like all the tennis stars, like the Williams sisters themselves, Roger Federer, Nadal? I'm sure you
Djokovic.
Know.
Djokovic, I treat, who also, in my opinion, is getting screwed by the public. Like, where did freedom go? You know what I mean?
Give me a fucking break, you know?
Yeah. He doesn't want to get faxed, so what? He's just trying to have fun.
Have you had any high-profile guests on your show?
We have a give me a fucking break button that I hit, like what you just said.
Like a that was easy button?
I go like this on my podcast. I go, Djokovic's not allowed to go to Australia now to play in the tournament. And then I hit it and it goes, give me a fucking break. Give me a fucking break.
So you're like an AM radio show with like fart sound effects and
toilet
flushing.
Give me a fucking break. But it's on Spotify. Spotify picked me up. I was independent before.
So you're an exclusive.
Yeah, that's sick, right?
That is.
Isn't that sick? How much money I make just fucking telling it like it is,
and even more money working on celebrities' thighs.
It's crazy, man. I'm busy. To be honest, doing my podcast is really easy for me. No research goes into it. Just my true gut feelings. So don't worry about that. I just got to go on and be myself, and I rake in that dough. But the thigh tennis, tennis thigh, I cornered that market myself. That was a lot of doctor school or whatever.
And
medical school.
When you play tennis, Dr. Frogula was your partner. Or sorry, Kent.
Yeah. What the hell, eh? Poor kid.
How old was Count Frogula?
Count Frogula, probably Frogula. I said Frogula. Count Frogula, I'd say he was about 51 years old.
And do you mind if I ask how old you are?
I'm about 50.
Okay. I guess you threw me off when you called him.
I'm saying about
kid.
50 because I want to be honest and say 49, but honestly, I'm 50 next week, so whatever.
Well, thank
I gotta,
you for being
I gotta, honest. I gotta own up to it. I'm
you're telling it like it is.
Give me a
yeah,
fucking
give me
break.
A fucking break.
Give me a fucking break.
give me.
give me a fucking break.
Wipe out.
Yeah. Leave Kevin Spacey alone.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
What percentage out of the 3-hour show is this?
All the time, baby. Yeah. And I'm not even trying to be funny. I'm trying to be as serious and real as possible.
Well, sure. Yeah, you hate comedians, famously.
I hate comedians because they don't take life seriously. They don't follow any rules. Yeah. Have you read the book 12 Rules for Living?
No. Can
is
you
that
go
by,
real quick?
That
it's by Dr. Jordan Peterson.
Right.
I'm writing a book called 38 Rules for Living, you idiot. There needs to be more rules.
Jordan Peterson needs to take life more seriously.
Yeah.
That's the thing. He's too funny. He goes on and TV and talks like Kermit the Frog and then starts crying all the time.
That's pretty funny.
I know. That's what I mean. Like,
he's
we need
gotta
a real
smarten
man.
Up.
I've never seen him punch anybody. I don't know.
Has he tried cutting out everything but meat?
I hope so, because meat is the strength. Yeah.
That's all you need, I've heard.
Mm-hmm. What's the biggest rule you think he left out?
Well, you know, probably don't be polite to a stranger. Like, why would you give a stranger that power over you? That should be number one rule. You know,
what do you do when you meet a stranger?
I don't give them any status over me.
Mm-hmm.
You go on your tippy toes?
If they say anything to me like, excuse me, could you help me with my grocery bags or something? Or do you know where such and such intersection is? I look down at them like they don't deserve the air I breathe, you know? And you don't give them room to maneuver at all. And then you are the king of that interaction.
So you just don't answer, you just...
And stand in their way and they like try and go around you and you block them.
And then you strut away.
Yes, I declare my dominance. And that's the thing too, like, here's the thing, boys, if you're walking around a city that you don't know, you better know where you want to go. You could ask somebody, hey, where's this intersection?
Right.
And then they'll go, oh, right over there, and with their right hand and left hand be pickpocketing your wallet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
So you think it's weak to not know where to go in a city?
It's weak to do a lot of shit, man.
How long had you known Count Frogula for?
I'd say about, he was new to the club. I would say about 3 years.
From that whole time since he joined?
Yeah, he was one of those weird guys to me, though. Like, he would read books that weren't about real things. Do you know what I mean? Like, he was always reading a book and you know, it wasn't like, you know,
talking
how
about
like
a fiction book.
Yeah, like Sapiens teaches you about the history of the world, and you know, like, but he and you know,
Atomic Habits is the only book I read. I just read it over and over again.
Okay,
oh, and
you know
The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck.
Okay,
that book is perfect.
Yes, exactly. So I tip my hat to you. Those are the type of books that I like to read as well. If I have to read a book, if I'm on a long flight or something. But
you guys don't like Tucker Max.
What's Tucker Max?
Is that I Hope They Serve Beer in Hell?
It sure is.
That can't be fiction, right? I think that qualifies.
My friend told me I should read that. Maybe
I thought
you were
about
to
pull it off the shelf.
I should probably read that. My friend said. But yeah, so Dr. Frogula, like when he wasn't playing tennis at the club, he would get, first of all, he'd get a cocktail, which is weird to me, whatever, but to each his own. I usually like a nice cold beer after tennis. But I forget what cocktail he got, like a, I don't know, Manhattan or something like that.
Weird.
And he would, yeah, and he would read a book, and I'd be like, what are you reading? Thinking it would be like Atomic Habits or Sapiens or something like that. Or 58 Easy Ways to Build Your Own Tennis Court.
That's a lot of ways.
ways to build a tennis court.
Yeah.
There's this new book I'm reading right now called Flash Jasm, and it's about how to date a woman for years without ever having her really get to know you.
That is the worst part of dating.
Yeah, so I'd be like, what are you reading, Dr. Frogula? Are you reading Flash Jasm or 52 Ways to Build Your Own Tennis Court?
That's the prequel.
And he would be like, no, I'm reading this by author such and such. It's a story about a guy who goes on a store. What is that? What are you, 8 years old? Anyways, you know.
So it's made
up. He was always kind of peculiar to me in that way. Like he liked fantasies, I guess, that people would make up, I guess. But I don't go for that kind of stuff, you know.
So what?
But
drew
you guys
you to
still
him
became
as a partner?
Partners. Yeah.
He's good at tennis.
Okay. Oh. Was.
And here's the thing, guys. Sometimes in this world, if you can benefit from someone else's, you know, expert, just they have something to offer you that you can benefit from, like you have to take advantage of it. You have to compromise. So even though, you know, Count Frogula and I wouldn't see eye to eye in like anything that we did outside of the tennis court, we were really good together on the tennis court. And I wanted to be really good because I wanted to win that dough, you know, so. But poor kid, eh? Damn.
Yeah, can you talk a bit about the condition of his body when you found it?
Oh, it was ruined.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Are we talking totally wrecked?
Totally wrecked.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Demoed?
I think demoed. Yeah. You know? Like, it looked like someone had held his face in front of the electronic tennis ball serving machine and put the speed on high for the tennis balls. It looked like the Wile E. Coyote had finally, not to sound all weird or anything, but it looked like Wile E. Coyote had finally caught the Roadrunner and, you know, one of his Acme machines finally worked.
Finally bashed its brains out like Wile E. Coyote wants.
Yes, exactly. To be, yeah, to use a children's metaphor.
That's good. We have a lot of children listeners.
Okay, good.
And when did you find him?
Oh, I found him that morning when I went to go have my orange juice by the sprinklers.
He was just on the court right in front of that tennis ball machine.
I always go to the club early in the morning. My match is usually about 6 a.m. I go about 5 a.m. Yeah, there's a guy working the breakfast bar, setting up the breakfast buffet there, named Ashford. And Ashford always makes me fresh orange juice, right? So I get a glass of fresh orange juice, go down to the, there's these benches where you could watch the sprinklers water the flowers, which is, sounds a bit peculiar, but it,
weird.
I like to, that's the thing. But it, you know what, I have to admit, maybe I am a little bit weird myself. I like to look at the sprinklers, splash the flowers, and it helps my thoughts grow. But the tennis match that day, and anyways, I look over in tennis court number one, I see Count Frogula laying there, ruined, totally wrecked, like we were saying. And I just go, shake my head and go, poor kid.
What we're going to do is take a quick break.
Yeah.
When we come back, hopefully we can figure out who totally pwned the body of Count Frogula.
Yeah. And also check out Oh Give Me a Fucking Break on Spotify.
Yeah, during our break here, during our like 10-second musical interlude, if you can go boot up an episode of Give Me a Fucking Break with Dr. Gumbo.
Yeah. It's not for, it's really fun. I just tell it like it is. It's not for anybody who possesses any empathy.
We'll be right back. We are back on Kill to Death. All three of us may be sweaty.
The improvised true crime podcast.
The improvised true crime podcast.
Thank you.
I'm still here with Steve.
Yeah.
Steve, your big nickname's Bones.
It's one of my biggest.
What are some of your lesser known nicknames?
We did this.
Oh, okay. And we are also still here with Dr. Gumbo.
Hello, boys.
Hello.
Hello.
You recently had a tragedy. The hearse just pulled out of the lot containing the remains of your tennis partner, Count Frogula.
Poor kid.
50. 51?
51. Yeah. But nothing prepares you for seeing, I don't know, whatever I just saw, the hearse drive away, you know?
Oh, that was what was rough? Was the hearse drive
Not
leaving?
His head smushed in?
Oh, that was a tough way to go. There's no doubt about that. But yeah, you'd never live long enough to, you never think you'll live long enough to see a hearse pull away from your favorite tennis club.
Yeah. Now, Dr. Gumbo.
That hurt me. That hurt.
You are in order of profit. You mm-hmm. are a medicinal doctor. For people's
thigh doctor,
thigh area.
Tennis thigh area doctor. Mm-hmm. Just under the tennis shorts.
2 inches below the genitals to 2 inches above the knee.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Right where the bone fully encircles someone's thigh, like a cage, like a meat holster, or like mm-hmm. when you're climbing up a sailboat and get tangled.
Have you seen Jaws?
Yes.
Yes.
So maybe it's a hunting thing. I don't know because I haven't been out to sea hunting in a long time, so I forget. But I used to go a lot.
You mean fishing?
With my friend Hambo.
Yeah, you call fishing hunting?
Well,
slow hunting?
Well, we would shoot fish with a rifle, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, so in Jaws, which is a silly fantasy movie.
Right.
I thought it was like real at first, but it's not. They made it up. It's the same director that went on to make that stupid movie about an alien who eats candy with a boy. So Roy Scheider, the actor, climbs up the... It's like a mast, but it's sort of on...
You're
a,
talking about the crow's nest? Like the basket atop?
Yes, the crow's nest. Okay.
But the crow's nest is not like a full bucket like on a pirate ship, but it's like a
right.
metal band as a support for your back.
I can picture that. Yep.
When you're standing up there with the rifle. The bone goes... A lot of people don't know this. The bone goes around your... thigh bone like that, and it's called the the tennis serve bone because you put a lot of pressure on it when you're about to serve. Ask Djokovic, ask Federer, ask Serena, ask John McEnroe, ask Boris Becker, and
this is for
people.
Any of the listeners, feel free to ask any of them.
Yeah, ask that girl from Ontario that's doing well now.
Andrzejczyk, is that how you say it?
Yes.
Awesome. Yeah. So that's, you make over $4 million a month doing that. Then second profit-wise is your podcast, Give Me a Fucking Break with Dr. Gumbo.
Oh, Give Me a Fucking Break.
Oh, Give Me a Fucking Break. Sorry, yeah. O-G...
O-G...
A...
M.
M.
No, wait.
F-B...
O-G-M-A...
Yeah.
F-B.
Some people get mixed up and they call into my
podcast. It's a call-in show.
Yeah. They call. There's a call-in section when I tell people on Twitter, I tell them I'm going to be recording. You can call in and ask a question.
Right.
And they call in totally off base, thinking that I'm an OGBYN.
Oh, yeah. And because you, the show is with Dr. Gumbo.
That's the true thing.
OGBYN with Dr. Gumbo. But it's so close, but it's not that.
So, I mean, unless they're having a problem with a very specific part of their thigh that relates to their tennis game, you kind of can't really tell them much.
I just tell them, hey, if you're going to have a baby, have the baby. Because if you don't, I'm going to be pissed.
Oh, give me a fucking break. And third, profit-wise, is your tennis career.
Yeah, but that's more like gambling with the boys, yeah.
Oh,
but
sure.
I do make pretty penny doing that. I'm pretty good. But now that Count Frogula's gone, I don't know what the hell I'm going to do. I'm going to have to find another guy.
You don't play singles?
I do, but, you know, doubles is where the money's at.
Oh, double or nothing.
That's right.
Okay. Wow. Yep.
And Count Frogula, you met 3 years ago when he joined
the
club.
He was new at the club.
New at the club. Weird guy, would order weird things like a Manhattan, would read weird books like A Story.
Yeah, he was reading some kind of frou-frou book last time I saw him by a guy named James Patterson. What is this crap? You know what I mean? This made-up fantasy crap.
When was
something
the
about the president thing? Needing to hide for a bit? I don't know.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, where's the president hiding?
It's like a Where's Waldo.
Yeah, well, each chapter was a different room in the White House. And it wasn't pictures. It wasn't like Where's Waldo where there's pictures, but as you read, you had to think if the president was behind any of the furniture that you were reading about.
So it would say, like, just the desk, there's shoes sticking out.
Yeah. Go over to the shoes. Oh, it's just shoes. Yeah. Where is the president?
I'm starting to see.
But also, it's gripping because there's terrorists on the roof.
Oh, so you do like this book.
No. This is what Count Frogula told me. Apparently, it's gripping.
Right, right, right.
I'm like, yeah, gripping to a guy who drinks Manhattans but won't smoke a cigar with a nice scotch.
Oh, speaking of which, there's a man behind you who's holding up a glass. I think I feel like he doesn't want to bother you, but he's like keeps kind of raising his eyebrows and leaning back and forth on his heels and his balls of his feet. Do you know that? You know who that is?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Yeah. I think the drink is for you.
Thank you, Ashford.
My pleasure, sir.
This is Ashford. He knows that I like orange juice freshly squeezed in the morning and scotch right after 11:30 a.m. and on.
And you told me so when you started here. If you ever saw a hearse leaving the parking lot of this place, get me a scotch as soon as you can, because I'll need it.
And you remembered, Ashford, and I respect that about you.
I wrote it on a napkin.
You're a good man. You're a good servant to me.
Okay, well, I do just work here, but anyways, well, we won't get into that.
Yes, but I am
one of the...
You've
told me that before.
I am one of the highest status members here, so technically, yes, when I'm here, you are serving me, are you not?
Yes, sir. Technically serving you. Yes, that is true. That is true. Yes, excellent. Excellent, sir.
And what did I teach you, Ashford, for when you're not working here?
When I'm not working here, I'm to win every conversation. Every conversation is a battle, a battlefield to be won. And on the battleground, you will never surrender. If you are to surrender, in the rest of your life, you'll be weak. And then you'll never find yourself a wife. Or your wife will know everything about you, which is the same thing. And it's sad, and it's either too much information, or you're leading a sad, lonely life.
I would never say that you said that better than me, Ashford, but you said it in a way that I really liked.
I love your show, sir. I love your show, and I love your work.
Thank you. Thank you.
And
it's all from the gut.
Thank you for everything you ever taught me. This man's a genius. I don't know if you know this, sir, but this man's a genius, and he's changed my life.
It was apparent from the top.
Oh, okay. Well,
thank you.
I should say no more, as I am at work, and I should leave you be. But please let me know if you need anything else. And you, sir, can I get you something?
You,
I know you're online, but can I get you something?
Yeah, well, just so you know, you're on mic right now, and I'm the highest status member of this podcast, so you're kind of serving me.
Oh, dear God. I've never been on before. Is this... do I play a sound effect? Do I do a... is that what normally happens?
Do you have your own drops?
I have my own drops, yes. You should always come prepared with drops. What can I get you?
Not sure about that. Thank you for calling me a genius, Ashford. I mean, my father was definitely a genius, and I inherited all of his money. So, therefore, I must be a genius as well, shouldn't I?
It stands to reason, sir. And anyone with who doesn't even know a father is desperately trying to seek the affection that they've never had.
I've genuinely become the richest man on the planet to have a successful podcast that just tells it like it is to blue-collar workers.
Plus, you get in some wonderful Twitter arguments, sir, and you are always coming out on top. I've seen you quote tweet some people with barely any followers, and then your tweet will get marginally more likes than theirs.
Don't you admire how much I burn the strangers replying to me?
You've always got a clap back, sir.
Did you see that one guy who said, "Where's your empathy, you cretin?" And then I replied to him, "Go cuck yourself." And then I ratioed him.
Yes, sir, I don't know how you've done it, but every time you've ratioed these people, it's as if you have 13 million followers on there.
Well, it's not like I just bought Twitter or anything.
No, I'm not sure that you did. I'm not sure where that landed, but I'm congratulations if you did, sir, and my condolences if it didn't go through. You will someday, sir. You'll own everything online, and then it'll only be your thoughts. That's all we need.
Yeah, one person's thoughts.
That's all we need. One person's thoughts out there.
I genuinely would love that.
As long as it's yours, you know?
Exactly.
As long as they agree with you, then and say what you will.
I agree 100%.
Ashford, we're talking about the death of Count Frogula.
Poor kid.
No.
Poor kid.
That's
when
one of my drops.
When was the last time either Whoa. Of you had seen...
Whoa.
It's when I'm distraught.
Me likey.
Ashford.
Give me a fucking break.
Humana.
When's the last time either of you had seen Count Frogula?
Last time I saw him, he was lying on the tennis court, face mangled, and I was drinking orange juice.
I guess I should have specified alive.
Oh, right. That was probably after the big match the night just before that.
Yes, and congratulations, sir, again.
Thank you.
Marvelous display.
I would say congratulations to Count Frogula, but as well, but he doesn't need
that anymore,
does he? You'll
have to wait for hell for that.
Oh, if there's a hell, yes. Count Frogula's there for sure, burning alive, screaming that he shouldn't have been so weak to get himself murdered like a fool.
Oh, you think anyone who's murdered goes to hell?
Is that one of your 38 rules?
Honestly, yeah.
Never be murdered.
Honestly, if you get murdered, you're a cuck. Now I feel like some of this is getting a bit dated. But
dated? Is that
cuck is so 2016, dude?
Right. I'm making a note, sir.
But I'm an old, rich white man, cuck. so my lexicon is dated.
And the lexicon's what you make it, sir. If you keep using it on your show, then it stays popular. May it never
Thank
die.
Thank you, Ashford. Thank you, Ashford.
Just make a drop of it, and then soon everyone will be saying it all the time.
Yes.
Don't be a cork.
Every now and then I try to scroll through Twitter followers I don't like to see what is the cool new slang.
So you had a big match the day before.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Was this the final of a tournament, or was there still more to come?
It was a best 30 out of 48 games tournament.
Yes. First one to 30, but if the other team wins 18, then you just call it quits.
We were playing two very rich men with blonde, curly hair.
Yes.
They were good, but me and Count Frogula were better. We won 30. Yeah.
Oh, that was game 30 the day before.
Mm. Yeah. We didn't give them a chance. Mm-hmm.
No, you didn't let them play.
It looked like they weren't playing, I'll tell you that.
No, of course, yes. You won 40 love every game, every match. Impressive.
Ashford.
Yes.
May I please get a finger of Lafroig on the rocks?
Of course, sir. Right away.
I usually don't get my scotch on the rocks, but I'm sad today.
That guy can really scurry. Look at him go.
Oh, yeah. He's desperately like in a cellar throwing out other scotch bottles looking.
Yeah.
Didn't I tell him? Doesn't he look like he's in service to me, boys?
Yeah, I mean...
He does, yeah.
Yeah, he truly loves what you do.
But honestly, when he comes back and I'm drinking my scotch, you should interrogate the shit out of him.
Oh, okay. What? You're suspicious.
Well, he comes from a less than desirable apartment complex in a neighborhood that I own. And the
And
the apartment
good.
Complex is less than desirable because of how I own it. But I don't trust anyone who rents from me. Anyone who rents from me is shit, you know?
Hey, Yuasa.
Thank you very much, Ashford.
Didn't hear a word.
Lafroig. Smells like, you know why I enjoy it? Irish boy over here. It smells like the peat moss of a rock just under a bridge in Ireland. So delicious. But I guess it's scotch, so I meant Scotland.
It can still smell like peat moss, I guess.
Yeah, it smells like peat moss from over there.
You spat on the ground.
Yeah, I only like America.
Ashford, do you mind if we interrogate the shit out of you?
Happens every day,
go.
Sir.
Here we go. Cheers, boys.
Now, you were already there squeezing orange juice the morning that Dr. Gumbo had found Count Frogula. You were already at the tennis court.
That's right. So I was setting up the machines that automatically shoot the balls.
That's exactly where he was found. And the method of death with which death got him.
Yes.
Cheers,
correct.
Boys.
Cheers.
This will be fun. Keep talking, Ashford.
Well, yes, and I saw him. Of course, I saw him come in, and then
He waltzed right over to the machine, began inspecting it, and perhaps it just went on the fritz, the damn thing, and then bang, 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 oof, right into his face. It was a nasty sort of sight, but I witnessed it happen, actually, and it was quite an accident, and nothing could be done. I saw the whole thing happen with an orange juice in one hand and a scotch in the other. I simply didn't have the abilities to make any sort of attempt to stop it. It was just all now, happened before my eyes.
I didn't inquire how exactly, maybe like a big handprint in his hair, but apparently it sounded like his body looked like someone had held him there in front of the machine.
That sounds like that could be what it could be, but that's
Ashford, where do you live?
I live in an apartment complex.
Terrible.
It's awful. And I listen to your show, and your show tells me to take matters into my own hands. Your show tells me to take rightfully what's mine. And you know what? Count Frogula, I'll say it, Count Frogula was everything you told me to hate. He was a reader of stories. He never read a single book that you recommended on your show.
Made up
stories
too.
He wasn't even friends with you.
Exactly. Made up stories too. They weren't even recollections.
No. No. At least make it an old half-remembered tale, not something from an imagined mind. It was pathetic. He drank Manhattans.
Yes.
And I'm sorry. Yes. Yeah. All right. Fine. I killed him, but I did it out of love of you and love of your show.
Really? It was your words, Dr. Gumbo.
Well,
you inspired me. And someday I'm not going to be in that apartment complex anymore. Someday I'm going to own my own apartment complex. The ultimate job is to be a landlord, like you say. And that's what I'm going to do. Free
well, you
money.
You can't arrest a man the admirable and passionate like that, can you?
You
a good old
one of
solid
your rules.
American?
Be hey. So inspiring you can't be arrested.
Big dog makes the laws.
That's what I know. Yes.
This is almost a happy ending. Ashford, you've blossomed into a man of your own.
Thank you, sir. And for my first ever podcast appearance, I thought I'd be more nervous.
You're natural. Maybe you can come on. Oh, give me a fucking break.
That would be a dream, sir.
I would love to hear your story about how you overcame living in one of the apartment complexes that I own myself.
Haven't done it yet. It started by murdering your tennis partner. That was only step one. But I am on my way, sir. And someday I'll be rid of that place. The fucking ceiling leaks.
And that wraps up another successful episode of Killed to Death. Wow. I want to thank Zach Aaron for our theme song and Brady Schumer for our art. What do I want people to do, Steve?
You want them to check out Killed to Death podcast at gmail.com. Well, don't check that out. Email that if you have a suggestion of a murder.
Check out that email address.
Check out that address when you're typing it into the to bar in the email. Subject line, I got a suggestion for you. And then content of the email, that's up to you.
You can also check out Killed to Death podcast on Instagram, KGD pod on Twitter. That's it. We're going to turn now to Dr. Gumbo. Dr. Gumbo, this is, of course, the plug section of the show. Besides give me a fucking break, is there anything people should listen to?
Yeah, there's a podcast that I really like right now that the theme is each episode focuses on a character from history or from, movies or something that are characters that I admire myself, that I find inspiring. It's a very inspiring podcast. It's called Evil Men. And the hosts of that are Mike Belazzo, James Hartnett, and Chris Locke. And now they call themselves comedians, which, as you know, rubs me wrong.
Yeah, they've got a slap coming.
Yes, I would love for Will Smith to punch the shit out of them. for any measly reason. Otherwise, like they did an episode on Blackbeard. They did an episode on such luminaries as Ivan the Terrible, Rasputin.
Do you think there's a Jordan Peterson one coming?
There should be, to be honest. His book 12 Rules for Living did inspire my book coming out soon, 32 Rules for Living. You need more rules, you damn fool. The weird thing I know about these comedians is it's like what I was saying about Count Frogula. I didn't see eye to eye with the way they're personally. Like, for example, I know Chris Locke is a very funny comedian from what I've heard people say, and he actually possesses empathy and really doesn't like people like me at all in real life. He's a sensitive man, but that worries about the state of the world. So I don't personally agree with that. Dr. Dumbo Gumbo doesn't agree with that.
But Belazzo and James Hartnett are good.
Those guys seem like more my speed. Like a bunch. They're a couple of jerks, bitter, money hungry. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like those guys.
So check out Evil Men. It is so fucking funny. And you can find it on the Sonar Network where we live as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just next door.
I also heard that this frou-frou, like, little sensitive bubble bath taking poetry reading idiot Chris Locke has a
piece
comedy.
Of shit.
Has a comedy special coming out on Crave TV this summer or this fall, because Bell won't give him the release date because they've got other fish to fry, like I guess. But
fish
it is
hunt,
coming soon. Fish to hunt with a rifle, yeah. So there's that to look at.
Well, that's exciting. Hell yeah.
Yeah, but I'm sure that will be promoted on his socials, whether it be Twitter or Instagram.
I'm sure it will. You know, these freaking guys. I think his is at Chris Locke World on Twitter and at Chris Locke Fun on Instagram. But yeah.
So be sure not to follow those accounts.
Yeah.
Yeah. He talks about his feelings and stuff. It's not for me.
Mm-hmm. Steve, do you have any plugs?
Yeah. Every now and then he'll mention he's upset, and then I will mute him.
No, just listen to Evil Men.
I want to say to all of our listeners out there, this one's for you. Keep your stick on the ice.
To anyone listening, to everyone listening out there, duct tape will fix anything.
If women don't find you handsome, they should at least find you handy.
For everyone who's listening out there, old school Canadian cliches are the best. I need my Timmies.
Killed to Death is produced and recorded by Steve Cook and Griffin Toplitsky and is a proud part of the Sonar Network. Music by Zach Aaron. Art by Brady Schumer. Special thanks to Mike Mangiardi, Katie Lure, and Tom Shank. Please follow and like Killed to Death wherever you can so the boys know how to value their worth as human beings.
Has been brought to you by the Sonar Network.
Sonar!